Let's just get started. Hi, welcome to Tuesday Night Call. And as always, this can be best served by paying full attention, being present, muting yourself while I'm talking. A lot of you guys submitted questions this month, which I'm really happy about. And even better, the questions that were submitted all kind of worked together to give us a theme for our time together today. And so thank you again for submitting questions. Always submit the questions in advance so I can prepare and see if there is some symbiosis between the questions, which definitely dictated the theme of this month. I want to start with the first question. Can you explore persistent resistance and just feeling stuck? So this is a question about resistance, which I get a lot of questions about resistance. This person wrote me, for me, fear mainly shows up around work and feeling resistance and reluctance about doing it. Well, that sounds about right. I've been using the 4-step art of fear process and see the resistance as a potentially normal and natural response, resistance to doing his job, basically. Using the 4 steps, I am able to shift a bit and stay with the feeling. I assume when he says this, that staying with a feeling of resistance and reluctance, but still somehow feel stuck. Eventually, I have to get on with things and end up feeling like I'm back where I started at the end of the day. My interpretation is of this question, which I assume is ongoing resistance and reluctance to doing his job. He continues to write, I know on some level that that's life, but feel stuck in a loop that isn't quite right. Okay. So this is an interesting question. And the person that submitted this is a new subscriber for our calls. Hi, you know who you are. I don't name names. He's listening to the recording. So, but I want everybody to engage in this too, because I mean, what he's outlining is basically he hates his job and he's trying to use the 4-step art of fear method to, I don't know, either feel better about doing his job or not hate his job, just flat out, you know, dive in head first and lean into his job. So this loop that he's experiencing is his particular hamster on a wheel, but maybe you have your own hamster on a wheel of something that you don't like to do and that you're in resistance to doing. And I will say that we always want to honor resistance because resistance is a very, very wise voice. You need this in your bag of tricks, right? And if it's persisting, right, that's because it's trying to get your attention. It's there in this case, clearly because this person hates their job and they don't want to do it, right? Now, to be clear though, the 4 steps is never a tool to get someone to like something that they hate. That's not what the 4 steps are about. Even fear, of course, I developed the 4-step art of fear method, not to get people to like fear, right? Nobody likes fear. Doesn't get anyone to like fear. The 4 steps are only so that you can sit with it and feel it. And this whole session is about this, about resistance to things that we don't like. So even though you may hear your question, there's been 3 questions submitted. Just make sure that you stick with us through the end because this is a super fascinating topic. So my advice to the person that asked this question then is certainly knowing that the 4 steps are about just being where and who you are, period. And that's it. Like if you don't like fear, it gives you the chance to fully not like fear. It's not about using the 4 steps to learn how to like fear because nobody's going to like fear. It's very uncomfortable. It's not even about getting yourself to be comfortable with feeling uncomfortable, right? It's about allowing yourself to be uncomfortable, right? So in this case, with this question, it gives us the 4 steps to a chance to fully, in this case, be in resistance and be reluctant to doing your job. And I assume that he's talking about his profession, but we can also talk about jobs in a bigger picture, like it could be cleaning the garage or, you know, we'll get to that. It could be being in a relationship, anything. So don't be limited in your thinking that this question is just about work, like, you know, going to an office and sitting in a cubicle or whatever it is that you do. This is anything that you have to do that's on your plate. So here's what I see then. This person has been using the 4 steps as a goal to what? To not hate his job, right? To maybe like his job or lean into the work. Well, know that that's never going to work, certainly not with the four steps. Instead, what we want to do is use the four steps to get in touch with what we're feeling all the way. And if what you're feeling is that you hate your job, that's what the four steps are for, right? Getting you in touch with that all the way, which I'll help you do right now and we'll continue to do through this entire talk. So like I said, stay through to the end. So the person who asked this question, I want to modify the four steps for you specifically to remove goals. Specifically removing the goal to shift from hating your job to liking your job, which, and really let this sink in, is never going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen through the four steps, or if you hate your job, nothing's going to help you love your job, right? Everyone on this call, then, I want you to think of something that you hate doing. And in this term, we're talking about job, but just anything that you hate doing, so we can all play along with what we're going to do next. Think of something that you have to do that you can't quit. It could be parenting, right? It could be getting up early to parent. For me, I recently went to Burning Man, right? I hate packing for Burning Man. I hate driving to Burning Man. I hate sitting in line to get into Burning Man. And I hate driving home. And I hate unpacking and I hate cleaning up, like all these things that I hate doing, right? So that's a job, right? Recently, another job is to finish my remodel. And let's call this my job, right? It's not my job. This is my job. But I also have a job of remodeling my house and keeping my house just maintained. And I hate doing this stuff. I am never going to like packing for Burning Man. I am never going to like doing house remodel stuff. So think about what your job is that you want to do the four steps for right now. And let's see how this serves us in other ways versus trying to learn how to like our job, right? So before we get started though, some of you that are on the call, why don't you chime in on what you're going to do these four steps around? Well, like, what is some job that you hate in your life? Who wants to share?
I hate filing all the information I keep about the stuff I do. So when I want to do it again, I have all the deets.
Right. Filing stuff, taxes, you know, keeping it like when I think of filing things, I think of filing receipts. So that's a great one. So let's go with that. And the person that submitted this question, I don't know what their job is. So just think, it could either be your actual work, how you make a living, or just stuff that you have to do that you don't like. So let's all do this together. We'll do the four steps. I want you to first acknowledge that it's normal, and I'm just going to call it job. It's normal and natural to hate this job, right? It's not a sign of personal weakness. It sucks. Who likes to file crap? Who likes to pack for Burning Man? Who likes to clean up playa dust after Burning Man? Who likes to, you know, somebody out there likes to do home remodel stuff. It's not me, right? It's normal and natural for me to not like this. Not a character flaw, not a sign of personal weakness, none of that. So that's step one. Then step two, okay, where do you feel hating your job in your body? And for me, it's like my head spins. I'm like, oh God, like, I have thoughts about it, like, not again. And I kind of slump my shoulders. So everybody just notice when you have the thought like, oh, I hate doing this. I hate filing stuff. Like, what, how does your body change? What do you feel emotionally? What do you just sense? Does it show up as stress? It might just show up as resistance. Like, oh, I don't want to do it. Right. And then step three is, are you in resistance to that feeling of hating your job? Which is another way of saying, if it shows up as resistance, are you in resistance to the resistance of doing, of hating your job? Right. And the asker of the question seems so. Yes. Right. Like, the question reeked of, I hate my job, but I don't want to hate my job. I don't want to feel resistance or reluctance to my job. I want to maybe love my job, right? But the thing is, maybe you can't quit your job or not do it. Or, you know, can you just not file things? Can you just not pack for Burning Man? Well, yeah, right? But we're doing these things for a reason, right? And so the only alternative is not to find a way to like your job, but just sit with the resistance to the hate my job feeling. You know, it's like, it's almost like there's two forms of resistance here. There's resistance to the job itself that you have to do. And then there's the resistance to the resistance. So step three is always all about how many levels of resistance are we dealing with here? So when we're in step three, just notice how you're all feeling. And just sit and be in resistance to the job, be in resistance to the resistance, be in resistance to just the suck of it, right? Let's just spend a minute doing that now. Do it in silence. Could be as thoughts like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to feel this way. I want to like my job. It could be just a feeling. Stay with it. Notice if it starts to dissipate. And usually for me, what that looks like is I just start to space out and I don't do the exercise anymore. It's like it doesn't really have this huge hold on me. Notice if the resistance, I mean, you're just so aware of like the river all around us of all these different states of being and being in resistance to it. What does that feel like? Start to see the ridiculousness of all this resistance. As if you could resist it, right? How do you resist a river, being in a river, right? So step three is always about just pausing and really acknowledging the resistance or the resistance to the resistance. It's not about trying to get rid of the resistance. It's also about like acknowledging what's really going on. It's like, well, I just wish that I could like my job. Maybe that's how the resistance is showing up, just having that clarity in step three. Now in step four, now that we've kind of dealt with the resistance, now we just get to simplify. Just sit and hate the job, period. Just sit and hate it. I don't want to do this. I hate it. Either have that thought and or just sit with the feeling. It could be also that you're resisting or that you're just sitting and being in resistance to your job, which is another form of hate or fearing that this is like, oh my gosh, this is my life. This is what I spend 8 hours a day doing. Just whatever is really down deep at the core, the base layer of what this feeling is, just sit with that and feel it or think it in silence. Anybody want to comment on what it's like for you to just sit and hate something that you have to do or that you do?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking on Monday, I was in a Lyft ride, like 40 minutes, and we were getting to a bridge crossing, and they, for whatever reason, they closed down everything but one lane. I was so resisting this experience. So I feel really impatient. That's what I get. Like, I want this to be over. I just want to be done with it. And some situation, you're just there for the ride and you can't get through it.
Right. And there's the resistance to the sitting there, right? Yeah. And being stuck there. But then there's the resistance to the awful feeling that comes from that. I mean, there's whatever you resist persists, resistance leads to suffering. It's like, you know, you guys know what I teach, but to just sit and just think this sucks and feel into the suck of it.
Yeah.
That's all that these four steps are about. Period. No goal. Not as a way to feel better. Just sitting with it. And I love today's topic so much about resistance. I want to take it deeper for us and bring in the second question that just melds so neatly into our conversation. It's about decluttering. The question is, why is there a feeling of resistance to decluttering things when it feels so right once it's done? And I picture cleaning the garage, right? It's like, I don't want to clean the garage. And then you clean the garage and you're like, oh, hallelujah. It just feels so good, right? So why is there such a resistance to cleaning the garage if you feel so good afterwards? I mean, if you're sitting in traffic, yes, you feel good afterwards once traffic starts to flow, but this is a different, you know, you're just a victim of circumstances. Whereas like when we're talking about cleaning the garage, like you have a choice, right? Moving on to raise the bigger picture topic of what we're discussing today is that we don't want to do the things that we don't want to do. Having to do something that we don't want to do just flat out sucks. So why are we doing things that we don't want to do? Because the end result feels great, right? Once we get it done. But there's no relationship to the suck involved in having to do it and the end result, right? They are different things. There's the suck involved, you know, of cleaning the garage. And then there's the having the garage clean, that they're kind of unrelated, right? They're completely different moments. It's kind of like packing for a trip or, you know, like Burning Man, for example, sucks, right? Traveling to the destination, driving, I don't like it. It sucks. I used to, but I don't anymore. There's a big difference between packing for a trip, traveling to the trip, or even if you're taking a plane, right? Versus being on the trip. You know, you've now arrived and you're now in your vacation, right? And it's like the trip doesn't begin until you've arrived at the place, right? And the rest is what you have to endure in order to get that. You know, like you have to endure cleaning the garage in order to have that amazing feeling. So yes, I like packing for Burning Man. Yes, I hate driving there. Yes, I hate waiting in line, right? And the fact that once I arrive in Burning Man and it's so amazing, it doesn't make these things any less of a pain in the ass or a chore. It doesn't make them suck any less, right? And here's where we turn the first and the second question around then. And maybe the question that meant to be asked is, why do I have to endure such misery in order to get the thing that feels so good, you know, the good feeling afterwards? And you find this, I mean, I'm starting to date again. Like, I like dating, but it's like, oh my God, the process that it takes to get to the point where I'm like about to get married again to the love of my life or something, you know, to go from signing up for Bumble to like finally finding a partner. It's just a long game, and it's a lot of effort, and it's like, Jesus, is it worth it? No, it feels, it's just going to suck. Right. So here's the big question that I think everybody is trying to ask. What am I willing to endure that sucks in order to hopefully get something that I enjoy for all the effort? You know, that's kind of the bigger question, or always the question, right? Like, what am I willing to put up with in order to get the things that I want? So taking it back to fear, because ultimately these Tuesday night calls, I'll always take it back to fear. Fear is uncomfortable, right? So how I think that people are under the misrepresentation that what I'm trying to do is get people to think that fear is a great thing, right? And it is, but it doesn't ever feel good, right? It's very uncomfortable. Anxiety is, of course, a new name for fear. Nobody would ever say that, oh, I love my anxiety, right? So then fear, anxiety being the same word, you know, how much anxiety are you willing to endure in order to get what you want? I'll ask it again. How much fear, anxiety, are you willing to endure in order to get what you want? Well, I'm willing to endure the discomfort of fear in order to get what I want, right? Which is give speeches for a living. After which, hopefully, if I give a good speech, right, I'll feel great about myself. I'm willing to endure cleaning my house, or because it feels really good afterwards. I don't enjoy cleaning my house, but I'm willing to endure it, right? So that I can get afterwards. Now, I have had a handyman over the last 2 days, and I don't know if you guys have ever heard me talk about my handyman, but he is very difficult personality, very challenging, likes to talk a lot. I mean, if I think that I have work that I have to do, I just have to stop and just, you know, accommodate him. And it's a lot. And I don't have time to talk with him that much. But after he leaves, I feel great because my house is one step closer to being done. And yes, my remodel is still going on. Or if I clean the house, I, you know, it sucks, but afterwards I have a clean house, you know? And so the first question, right, I'm willing to endure this terrible job in order to earn money, the person that asked that, you know, can you see that trying to figure out how to not just to turn around the enduring of a terrible job, but actually like the job, that's not going to happen. I've already mentioned that. But can you see it as I'm a willingness, like a willingness to endure a terrible job in order to probably, for him, earn money so I can have security? I don't know who this person's is and what their core values are, but if safety and security is your core value, you're willing to endure a lot of shitty jobs in order to have safety and security. If that's what your core value is, to pay your mortgage, right? And thus live in a house that you love, like maybe comfort's a core value. Okay, I'm willing to do this shitty job in order to have comfort in a house that I love, or afford fishing on the weekends. If your core value is maybe peace, or going to Burning Man, I'm willing to endure this awful job that I work at in order to raise money so that I can go to Burning Man and experience radical self-expression, which is what radical authenticity, which is what my core value is, or what have you. Like, what are you willing to endure to get the things that you love or that matter to you or align with your core values? Now, to think that life is all roses is a misnomer. And more on this soon. I don't know who the asshole is that suggested that, oh, we're all supposed to be here and be happy. And if you're not happy, then there's something wrong with you, right? Like that, we want to shoot this person. But anyway, more on this soon. I did a Tuesday night session on a quote. And I think the whole Tuesday night session was about this quote: the art of life is to enjoy a little and endure much. Now, it's the same with relationships, for example. Endure dating, right? so that I can have some pleasure, maybe some connection, a nice meal, a meeting somebody, feeling good, right? I went on a date last night. I wasn't looking forward to it, but it wound up providing for me a nice experience. Or if you're already in a relationship, which many of you are, I'm willing to put up with this controlling behavior of my partner, right? I'm willing to put up with occasional gaslighting. I'm willing to put up with snoring or what have you, right? In order to get the good stuff that comes from this relationship. And it is literally like that with everything. So then the dilemma is with these questions, is that they perfectly capture the dualistic nature of life, because we hate our jobs, right? Only then can we know when we really like something. Because we know ugly, we can know beautiful. Because we know sucky, we can also know delight, right? It's like these contrasting dualistic experiences that we're having on Earth provide contrast. So it's very important. Like nature did get it right. It's the perfect design. So then summarizing, here's the only thing that matters then. Back to the questions regarding decluttering or hating one's job. Breaking it down even further, and I really want you to listen up right now. This is a big deal. When the payoffs are better than the cost of the situation, then you stay, right? Like if your relationship, yeah, it sucks, but the payoffs that you get from that relationship are better than the things that suck or the costs, you stay in the relationship. If the payoffs that you get from having a job that you hate, okay, yeah, it sucks and it's like soul sucking and you don't want to do it, but then you get to have whatever that it is that you get from the money or the maybe everybody thinks you do a good job, who knows? If the payoffs are better at work than the costs, then you should stay in your job. Same with sports. Like I see it all the time in skiing. People quit skiing all the time. You know, there's a lot of things that are great about skiing. You know, the payoffs are out in nature. You get exercise, you know, fresh air. You get to hang out with friends, you know, all of that. But let's say you've had a lot of injuries and it doesn't feel like the cost. It's like, oh my gosh, if I blow my knee again, you know, and clearly I'm not very good at the sport. And every time I go, I get injured, right? The cost is too much to get the payoffs. So when the costs are greater than the payoffs, right, you quit. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm not getting enough out of this relationship to bother staying. You know, I'm not getting enough out of this job. You've heard the term, nobody could pay me enough to continue doing this job, right? You quit, or you stop skiing or whatever it is. So it's the balance between like, what are you getting out of the experience versus what the cost is? So what matters in both these questions that have been submitted is when something sucks, it's really good to pay attention to what I call the suck versus delight discrepancy. And yes, I just came up with that term tonight, right? The suck versus delight discrepancy. And if work sucks at a level 10, but the delights that you get from earning a living, you know, what is that? Is if that's a level 8, maybe you should quit your job. But if it's also a level 10, it kind of balances out. You got an even Steven situation here. So in my case, the sucks of maintaining my house, you know, like yesterday I had the last time it rained, my roof leaked and it started ruining my drywall. And I heard it was going to rain today. And so I had a whole bunch of work that I needed to do yesterday, not related to the house. And I'm like, next thing you know, I'm running around trying to borrow a ladder, trying to find a handyman, trying to get my roof over here. It pretty much usurped my day and is not what I wanted to do with yesterday. And it was a pain in the ass and it was not a delight, right? at all. But it's not so much that I had the delight of having my roof fixed in time for today's rainstorm, which will happen any second now. It's not a delight per se, but it's also to ward off or avoid more suck, right? Like it was worth the effort that I put in yesterday of suck, right? To not have a $1,000 drywall repair and a still leaking roof today, you know, that's also worth it. So I don't know if delight to suck ratio is it, but just like suck to, you know, maybe the trade-off is having less suck in the future, right? That's what my roof was yesterday. So anyway, or I have the delight of not having $1,000 drywall repair today. So I'm going to pause. This is really about discussing the dichotomy that comes from like all the crap that we have to do and endure in order to get what we want. And it's unavoidable. And there's a whole nother level that we're going to go to next, but I want to pause for a moment and just see if anyone wants to share their own suck versus delight experience that they have going on in their lives right now. I know you have them. Well, if nobody wants to talk, that's fine. It sucks to clean the garage. It's a delight to have it clean afterwards. That's the simplest one that I've seen, which was part of the second question that was submitted. Think about your relationships and what you would say or reveal, right? Maybe nobody wants to reveal the truth, but nothing's all wine and roses. Maybe in the beginning, owning a house, you know, that sucks, but it's also a delight. Everything has a suck and a delight factor to it. Now, moving on. How does this relate to fear? You've heard me say this before, most of you. There's fear if you do something, and there's fear if you don't. There's fear if you quit your job. First question, person that asked that, this is about you. There's also fear if you don't quit your job. Fear if you quit your job, like, what am I going to do for money? How am I going to pay my mortgage? Is my wife going to leave me and think that I'm a loser? Like, there, who knows what the situation is there, but it would be scary to quit the job. Obviously, if he hates his job, he would have quit it by now, right? But he hasn't. And then there's also fear if you don't quit your job, right? Being stuck there for another 10 years and being even more miserable and just like, you could die tomorrow. And it's like, oh my gosh, am I going to spend my life, my precious life, doing something that I don't like to do? Fear if you quit skiing. You know, I don't get to have that experience anymore. A lot of people have to quit skiing at some point in their lives because of physical issues or financial or whatever. So there's fear. It's like, I don't have that soul fulfilling experience, but fear if I don't quit skiing, what could happen as well? I could go broke. I could get injured more. You know, I definitely face that in the end of my ski career. Big one, fear if I end the relationship. Okay. It's not that great. The delight to suck ratio is, it kind of sucks more than it is delightful, or, you know, maybe it's even Steven, right? Well, there's also fear if you end the relationship, you know, well, where am I going to live? What am I going to do for money? Who are my friends going to be? You know, I have to go through a divorce. Like it's awful. And then there's also fear if you don't end the relationship and you're still there 10 years later, still miserable, right? Fear or suck if I go to Burning Man, right? And fear and delight if I do go to Burning Man. It's always there's both, no matter what you do. I mean, does anything ever not have both? Certainly not in the bigger picture, right? Like, you know, looking at a butterfly flapping through a field, like there's no sucky moment in that, but it's like the big picture of life. You know, it involves both. So bringing it home then, I want to take us to our final question. Let me look at the time that was submitted. I highly value novelty as well. This is submitted by the same person. I took the Kolbe Index years ago, which measures instinctive ways of doing things and how we take action. I learned that I am a quick start, where I get started on a project quickly and then peter out on follow through. I will wait also until the last minute to do many things and then let the burst of stress from the deadline to motivate me and get me into flow. It doesn't always work, but it is a workable way of taking action for me. Basically, she's asking about taking action, right? She tends to get started on projects really quick, peters out, or waits to the last minute. So she doesn't finish a project or wait to the last minute and the stress helps her finish it, but that even that doesn't always work. So this is a question about procrastination. So this ties in very neatly to what we're discussing. I have a saying, I don't know where I got it from. Maybe I could find it online, but if it weren't for the last minute, nothing would get done. So she calls it stress. If it weren't for stress, nothing would get done. I call it fear. And I would say that stress and fear are the thing that when all else fails, that's finally what gets our lazy ass off the couch. So procrastination is an unwillingness to do something that you don't want to do. And the classic example is like writing a term paper or something. Like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to write this term paper and I'm unwilling to do it. But procrastination can also be when you don't want to feel fear. So when you don't want to do something or when you don't want to feel something or you don't want to do something that will cause you to feel something. Like, for example, yesterday, I didn't want to confront my roofer. My roof is new. It's a brand new roof. It's a year old, right? I did not want to call him and confront him, which is why I waited until the last possible moment, the day before the rainstorm, where I finally said, look, this is unacceptable. I've given you a month to come over. You know, I've been waiting patiently and now it's go time, right? Or moving forward on a divorce or moving forward on ending a relationship, right? So this is a big, big subject. And everything that we've been working towards during this call comes down to this. Nobody likes feeling bad. Nobody likes feeling bad. Nobody likes the suck. Of course not, right? Nobody likes feeling fear. Like any kind of discomfort, we all avoid it. And thanks to modern technology, we're more and more able to do just that, to not deal with it or avoid it or avoid it, right? Like physical. If you have a headache, what do you do? Pop a Tylenol. Headache goes away. So sinus issues, Allegra, right? These are physical things. Your knee is bothering you. You have surgery. These are all physical solutions, right? Or physical problems with solutions that doctors, very clever doctors have and scientists and have all come up with to help us not have to feel bad, right? And we don't want to feel bad physically, but we also don't want to feel bad emotionally. So what do we have for that? We have therapy in order to be less anxious, right? Less depressed, less angry, less fearful. Therapists have many technologies, we'll call them, to help you be less whatever, right? Less afraid, less depressed, all of that. And could be coping skills. It could be reframing past trauma, right? Could be simply just offering somebody compassion. And then there's also medications, antidepressants, sedatives, mood stabilizers, those kinds of things. There's also books, self-help books, right? Big, big sales so that you could be less whatever, less uncomfortable, right? Like mine, like people see The Art of Fear and they think, oh, this will help me have less fear. So we're just all about avoiding the suck, right? Discomfort. And you could also argue, taking it back to the first question, that my four-step Art of Fear method also falls into this category. I mean, it's my version of technology. I'm in the business to help people feel better too, right? But here's the thing that I'm really proud of, is that there are no side effects to this work. Now, you can't say that about much. You know, the things that people do to avoid feeling uncomfortable Almost all have side effects. You know, people become reliant on drugs. They can even become serious addictions. Therapy can become an unhealthy form of dependence or codependence with your therapist, right? Motivation, like lacking, you know, if you have procrastination, tips and pointers to be more motivated, right, can prevent people from dealing with deeper issues that are causing the procrastination in the first place. Now, these technologies, I'm calling them, there's nothing wrong with any of them. Here's what's wrong. The mindset beneath it all is the problem. Not the technologies, not the solutions, but the mindset beneath it all. What the mindset that caused all of these questions to be submitted to me this month, that is the problem, which is the mindset of our unwillingness to feel bad, right? This unwillingness to feel bad today. And when we have an unwillingness to feel bad today, and we kind of defer to some sort of technology to help us feel better that day, or even look to me to provide you a solution or an answer, or to try to help you feel like you like your job more, or that you're going to embrace the thing that you don't want to do more, right? If I buy into that, this, unfortunately, all these technologies that these clever people have come up with leads us to oddly feeling bad all the time. So any questions about that? Kind of a big deal. Let me give you some examples, like headaches, right? Because Tylenol exists, who bothers to figure out why you have a headache in the first place? It's a top-down kind of solution. And there may be some underlying issue in your relationship or work or physiology or, you know, neck pain or what have you, stress, not dealing with fear, you know, that's causing it in the first place, but you don't ever look at it because you can just pop a Tylenol, right? Any questions?
I would ask, is it the technology and the way we have to deal with logistics that's making us feel bad, or it's more like maybe it's our attitudes and our expectations and what we feel we have to fulfill?
Right. And the more the message gets sent out that, oh, what you want is happiness and you want to feel good and, you know, all of that, it leads to resistance, of course. Whatever you resist persists. And so it's the latter, you know, it creates an attitude of an almost, well, I won't say global, because I mean, if you live in Bangladesh and you're homeless and you're starving to death, like that's a different conversation, right? So mostly in the Western world, for people that have most of their needs met, and you know, if you're not then happy and living your best life, like it's like you think there's something wrong with you, and you see it as a problem to be solved, and you do whatever it is that you feel like you need to do to feel better. And unfortunately, it just masks the underlying problem, which is that you don't feel good. And, it, you know, let me give you an example. I have a person that I've been emailing lately. I was involved with this flow conference while I was at Burning Man. It was pre-recorded, but, and this guy wrote me, he's like, oh, I found it fascinating. And he said, I used to have the most horrendous anxiety disorder, but now I don't have it anymore. I'm like, great. What did you do? He's like, I take THC every single day. I'm like, okay, right? That's better than benzos or anti-anxiety or antidepressant, but you haven't gotten rid of your anxiety disorder. You just are not dealing with it because you're stoned all the time. He's like, oh yeah, but it's a miracle. I can now sleep. I couldn't sleep at all. And now I take THC before bed and I can sleep. And I'm like, well, you had insomnia too. And you think that this is a solution, but it's just a temporary solution. If you stop taking the THC, your sleep issues come back. The anxiety comes back. He's like, no, I've totally gotten under control. And I'm like, what are you going to do? Be stoned the rest of your life? And I talked about dope, and he's 72 years old. And he said, oh, no problem on the brain fog because I microdose every day. He had told me. And I know what he's doing. He's because the THC is making him dumb. He's then taking the psilocybin, the mushrooms, in order to keep his brain alive. I'm like, microdosing is not meant to be done every day for decades. Like, what are you going to do this for the next 25 years? Like I said, it's better than prescription meds, but it's still medication and it's not without side effects. You know, the dopey brain. I don't know. So you see that it's like his absolute, and he's like all psyched and happy and, you know, thriving and, you know, living his best life and all that. But you can see what this is a problem. And so, I mean, it's not like these technologies aren't great, like great for him. Like he's thriving, he's doing great, but can you see what's going on? And this is a mentality he's just buying into. I mean, it's pretty soon, everybody's going to be on THD to sleep and psilocybin to be able to also think straight. You know, if we keep that up, if we keep up that mentality. Any comments or questions? And, you know, if I sound exacerbated, it's because I am. And I mean, I've been back and forth with this guy and I'm not trying to get him as a client. It's just, I just, when you see somebody that you care about, which I now have a relationship with this person, it's like, you want to say, put the crack pipe down. There's another way, right? And the four steps that I've come up with seek to negate this aversion to unpleasant feelings. You know, I'm super proud of them. You know, the four steps are here to allow us all the luxury, if for only 2 minutes a day, to feel bad. And I'm trying to reframe them in people's minds. Because I keep getting the same questions over and over again. I'm like, you know, everybody's like, okay, I've been doing the four steps because I want to like my job. I'm doing the four steps because I want to procrastinate less. I'm doing the four steps so that I'm, you know, I don't have any more fear. It's like, it's so hard to not use the four steps with the goal to feel better. But that's not what the four steps are about. It's actually the opposite. So it's my experience then that among the other things that the four step offers is that they offer us the willingness, you know, a chance to be willing to feel bad emotionally, even physically, right? If only for 2 minutes, even if you only do them once, you know, just a willingness to feel bad. And the thing is that's so key about this is that this is the key to feeling good in the long term. Like that guy that I've been writing, you know, if he's willing to just feel bad for a moment, then he'll put I call it the crack pipe down. That really it's THD. I don't want to put that in the same category as crack, but just for fun slang, right? He won't psilocybin. Like 25 years he has left to live. Like, just stop. Like, just spend a moment, sober up, and try this. Right? Because there's the short-term benefit that he gets from the crack pipe causes long-term issues. And there's so many people who have been on like anti-anxiety, depressant medication, and their medication stops working. People just have to do more and more and more pot, right? In order to get the same effect. And it's a house of cards, right? We know that it's not without long-term consequences. So basically If you want long-term rewards though, or solutions, basically you have to require of yourself that you're going to make short-term sacrifices, namely to go all the way into the suck of whatever it is that you're feeling. Like we did earlier, like, I hate my job. Just sit with that, right? And let it be for 2 minutes. Just go and sit with the suck. Like, I don't want to pack for Burning Man. I don't want to clean my garage. I don't want to end my relationship. I don't want to go to work. I don't like, you know, just go into the suck. Don't push through it. Just let it be for 2 minutes. Do this before taking Tylenol if you have a headache, right? Just embrace the headache. You know, just do it for 2 minutes before you take the Tylenol. Who knows? The headache may go away, right? I don't know why I'm coming up with this analogy, but like running a marathon, like it sucks. I mean, there's runner's high and all that, right? But for the most part, it sucks, especially if you're out of shape. But if you just are willing to stay with the suck and just stay with the suck and stay with the suck, right? You get to the other side. And I mean, it feels so good to stop running right afterwards. Like I wear a knee brace when I go skiing. I think my favorite part of a ski day is coming home and taking that goddamn knee brace off. But just, can we just learn to just stay with the suck? Headaches and marathons aside, right? Making this about emotional health. Let me tell you about Keith, who's a new client of mine. He's trying to have less anxiety. And I mean, he was to the point where he was desperate. He was wanting to commit suicide. I think I talked about him last month too. His prescription meds weren't working anymore. He's been a drug addict and an alcoholic his whole life. And he's gotten to the point where he was only sleeping 1 or 2 hours a night. And he was just riddled with panic attacks. Couldn't even leave his room. Severe anxiety. Nothing he's ever tried that worked in the past to manage it was working anymore. Planning to commit suicide. Like that's how bad it had gotten. And he's just like, I can't handle the suck. I can't handle that. All the coping mechanisms to deal with my suck, get rid of my suck, don't work. I don't want to feel uncomfortable. I'm going to kill myself, right? I talked to him briefly, 4 steps. And for the first time in his life, he turned toward and became willing to feel his anxiety, AKA fear. And it's almost like I said to him, the solution for your anxiety is not less anxiety. The solution to your anxiety is more anxiety. So the solution to less suck is more suck, right? Like lean into feeling bad on purpose through these 4 steps. And for others, lean into the suck of hating your job. The long way of coming around to this, like lean into the suck of hating your job, period, right? Like we did with the 4 steps. I didn't finish, we'll now let it go and find the positive qualities of your job or any of that. I just said, hate your job. 1 minute, sit there, hate your job, right? Period. Like lean into the suck of cleaning your job. Lean into the suck of training for a marathon when you're out of shape. Leaning into the suck of packing for Burning Man or taking care of the house. It's like, when you do this, here's what happens. Here's the big picture. Instead of training your brain that it's not okay to have anxiety or suck in your life, which is training your brain to be afraid of or repulsed by discomfort or fear or anxiety or suck or what have you, you know, running away from it, trying to fix it, using technologies, right? All of these things that we do is the same, you know, as the resistance that I'm talking about. Next thing you know, your brain has been trained to think that the suck is the problem or dangerous, which leads us to more resistance, more anxiety, more resistance, more anxiety, more resistance, more anxiety, cyclical, until you're riddled in panic, your prescription meds aren't working anymore, and you're thinking of committing suicide. Like that's an extreme case, but I think we're all on the call because we get this, right? And that's an extreme example, hopefully not your situation at ever any point in your life, but all of this is birthed from the common cultural message that we have that you're supposed to be happy, that life is supposed to be suck-free, whoever said things, like I said before, that are not supposed to suck, you know, that causes a lot of anxiety. It's a vicious cycle. Now, conversely, if you think that things are supposed to suck, that leads to less or even no anxiety, aka fear. So, we're rounding this up. We're running out of time. One more exercise we're going to do. Just, I really want to drive this home because the questions keep coming in. How can my life suck less? How can my life suck less? How can my life suck less? Right? That's the questions I keep getting. I understand why, right? I used to go through it too, right? And just dissecting this tonight before our call, it's like any coping skills that you learn, of course, the ones that are common are deep breathing, positive visualization, affirmations, like cognitive restructuring, all that. Your brain interprets as an attempt to get rid of sucker anxiety, thus reinforcing the belief that it's dangerous. The four steps help us reverse that, allow us that chance to be willing to feel bad, not get rid of it, not fix it, you know, which is why I always say, and really, really let this sink in right now, must not have goals with it, must not have goals, must not have goals, right? Otherwise, it's just more of the same training your brain. But rather just sit with it, period. Learn how to be willing to feel bad and know that this takes courage. Courage, as you know, is a willingness to feel fear, right? And this is how, ironically, the school of no goals, not trying to feel better, not trying to like your job, not trying to lean into cleaning the garage, not trying to find a way to enjoy packing for Burning Man, you know, but just hating it. That's it. Not trying to change that experience. It is the only thing that leads to a better future with a brain that's okay with fear and suckiness. Before we do a final four step with this really driven home, does anybody have any questions?
I don't have a question, but I have a comment that I find that maybe people, I find myself focused on one thing that might suck, but not looking at all the things that might suck. So feeling for one thing, but not for all the different things. Like there's lots of times you use four steps of fear for different situations during the day. Do you agree?
Yes. And be careful what you're saying right now, because what I'm hearing you say is like, well, not all of life sucks. It's like, oh, well, let's try to have a positive outlook. Yes, that is true. But when things do suck, this is what we're talking about, right? It's that can be a cognitive reframe that cognitive behavioral therapists use. Like, okay, you're saying your life sucks. Well, tell me five things about your life that don't suck, right? And that's more of the same. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. We don't want to do that. This is the one place that you don't have to do that shit, right?
Right. Well, I'm staring out in dirty sunshine, so it's okay.
Right.
So, yeah, but I noticed that I maybe focus on one thing that seems to be the biggest suck piece, let's say, and then I don't give enough time to things that I don't feel to be in the same category as suck. Like the smaller things, I don't honor the smaller things that might just be kind of sucking.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Like you've been working with me for a while and you've learned to honor the big things. But it's like the little things. And even I mean, this is what I teach. This is my life.
Yeah. You know, so that and the fact that I was trying to control the situation. And once I gave up control and just feel whatever it was I was feeling, that's when my heart rate took a huge downtrend on the beats per minute.
And for still, those of you that don't know, down. Michael's resting heart rate, to remind you, 135 beats per minute.
Sitting. Whew. Yeah. So now it's been cruising definitely since I started the Art of Fear method, and just not controlling. It's been in that, you know, 80, consistently 80 to 90 range all the time, resting. So a big improvement.
Yeah. And it was almost instantaneous, if I remember.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Very and quick.
Don't stop now. Let's try to get it down even lower.
Right.
Right.
That's why I'm trying. I think I'm not giving enough. I'm not giving enough thought or enough space to honoring the little things that suck.
Yeah. That's harder to do because they don't consume us. We barely even notice them. We've gotten so good at ignoring, you know.
Maybe I got three large things that suck, but I'm only looking at one thing that sucks, right? I'm not looking at the other things that suck, like the job and whatever, you know, that part.
Yeah. And maybe the exercise should be, instead of like, oh, list five things where your life is working. No, list five things that really suck, and then the big things, and then list the five micro things that suck, right? Yeah. Do the four steps on all of them.
Yeah, without trying to control them. And that seems to be the key that I've been working on and seem to have the most success with.
Okay.
Cool.
But it's an interesting point. It's like, okay, everybody on this call has worked with me enough. You know what my message is, that maybe you've worked on the big stuff, but maybe you haven't honed it down to the little stuff. It's kind of like physical fitness. Like you can work your big quad muscles, your hamstring muscles, you know, your pecs or whatever, but it's those little muscles in between all of those that really create the health, the physical health, you know, of strength that you need in order to be, for example, ski or do a physical manual labor job, what have you. So it's like not just the big stuff, but the little stuff too. Like if you can learn to do this with the little stuff, and it's actually, I mean, it's so powerful and so interesting. When you start to do this more and more and more, it's so powerful that I actually don't do it very often because it blows my mind so much every time. And it changes my life just so much every time. It's a little overwhelming, but I just really encourage you to do the four-step Art of Fear method around anything big or small in your life that sucks, as a way to really train your brain that it's okay for life to suck, right? So that, ironically, even though we don't have this as a goal, right, it's going to suck less. So I'm not the total asshole that you think I am, right, when I ask this, but what is your brand of suck today? Does anybody want to share? We have a little bit of time. What just totally sucks in your life? Like maybe some of you love died, you know, maybe there's something that you're really sad about. Maybe there's something that you're angry about. Anybody feel like they want to be sharing this? It's okay if you don't want to, but this is a safe space.
Kristen,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you about something, you know, from time to time, it bothers me, and it's very similar to your client, Keith, with his desire to do a little acid microdosing to, you know, I knew a guy like that back in college, but.
Real quick, Liz, Keith and sure. The person that's microdosing are two different people.
Oh. Okay.
Keith is on hardcore prescription drugs prescribed from a doctor. And he's a client of mine. This other guy is not a client of mine. I've just been emailing him back and forth. And he's saying, oh yeah, I've conquered my anxiety. I did it with THC. I'm like, ooh. So two different people. So we'll call him THC guy and Keith. So now continue. Sorry.
Okay, I'm unmuted. I felt definite guilt about not being able to help my brother more, who passed away at what I consider an early age due to his substance abuse. But, you know, I just feel like in retrospect, I could have done so much more, and it was a shock. I think that's similar to dealing with a client with these issues, because there's something a bit immutable about having that, you know, as part of your makeup. You know, it's not the same as changing a lot of other people, like an asshole boss or, you know. little more difficult.
It is. I think that we can probably, I would imagine that we would all agree that people that are drug addicts or alcoholics or substance abusers are doing it to avoid pain or discomfort. And I think that we could probably all agree that people that commit suicide do it because they're sick of feeling awful. And they whatever coping mechanism that they had been taught or come up with to not feel awful doesn't work anymore. Because it leads to depression, and then you lose interest in things that used to make you happy. Do you know that ski resort towns have like 8 times the amount of suicides than any other town? Because a lot of people use skiing to avoid discomfort or pain. And all of a sudden people get older and they can't ski anymore. Maybe they have knee issues or what have you. I mean, it's just, we could spend a whole session just on that. But, you know, people just really, 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 truly are pain avoiders, fear avoiders, discomfort avoiders, suck avoiders. It's rampant, you know, and the message, okay. And it sells a lot of products. Take this pill, do this method, use this technology, and then you won't have any more suffering. Well, it causes long-term suffering, as we've learned, right? The avoidance of sadness in the short term, right, leads to depression in the long term. You know, and relationships, like if your relationship sucks, you may want to avoid a difficult conversation in order to not rock the boat or cause pain in yourself or the other person. But of course, we know that leads to resentment and anger in the long term. If you struggle with self-doubt, you may look for reassurance from others, you know, like, oh, you are great, right? And it makes you feel better in the moment, and it negates feeling terrible, but it leads to lower confidence and even worse self-esteem in the long run. Like anything, any kind of discomfort, any thought, feeling, if you try to avoid it through a technology, and the technology could just be affirmation from your friend, it doesn't get you where you want to go. It just causes worse and worse problems. These technologies are dangerous because it's training our brains to think that discomfort, suck, fear, pain, all of that is dangerous, right? That's a dangerous lesson. And it makes you afraid of life, half of life at least. So if only today, though, maybe not your brother, was it, Liz? We on this call, and those listening to the recording afterwards, are willing to feel or experience the suck instead. It's a terrible word, but kind of captures it all, right? If only today or once a month on Tuesday calls, you can negate the damage of the rest of the month by training your brain, teaching your brain that it's not a problem to have suck in your life. And if only today, instead of designing your life around how to avoid what you don't want, great. Let's do instead, as a group, one final 4 steps to design your life around a willingness to experience whatever is there. And notice how this big picture perspective, you know, the training of your brain and just seeing why people commit suicide, seeing why people struggle, like really getting, I mean, maybe come back and watch this again. I'm kind of all over the place, but giving a lot of context and texture and richness to leading to this moment where hopefully your perspective on the 4 steps changes, and maybe your questions will change too. You know, not how do I get rid of the suck, question after question, but how do I lean into the suck? You know, figure out those kinds of questions. You know, I caught myself doing it with the big things, but not the little things, or what have you, right? But notice how this is a perspective shift. This is a big Tuesday night class. So thank you. And let's do the four steps together. Do it for 2 minutes. I just want you to think of something that sucks in your life right now, or it could be a feeling, it could be a situation, it could be monkey mind, anything. For me, I'm going to go with my vertigo, my neck. So it's normal and natural to have this problem. Life is difficult. It's physically uncomfortable. Shit happens, especially to aging former extreme athletes who used to jump off cliffs for a living, who get in a lot of rear end car accidents. Whatever you have to say to yourself to just acknowledge that it's normal and natural to fill in the blank, you know, have this thing that sucks for you in your life or this feeling. Step two, where do you feel it? You know, touch where you feel it. How strong is it? How strong is it right now? Third step, are you in resistance to it? My resistance is I ignore it. Trying to get used to it. Wish it weren't so. Feel like a victim. Blame it on a person that abused me that contributed to it. So just step three, I just want you to do whatever your resistance to that suckiness is. However it shows up, a thought, a feeling, an interpretation, finger pointing, whatever it is, 1 minute, go all the way with it. Notice if it morphs into something else. Like for me, sadness just showed up. Stay with that. I noticed that I don't have much resistance to much anymore. Go to step four, whatever's still there for you or whatever's coming up, just sit with that as well. It's about layers. It's like the resistance feels awful, and there's the feeling underneath it that feels awful. It's like you may have 4, 5, 6 jackets on. Just notice them all and feel them all. Whatever comes up. This is not about focusing on it. It's not about accepting it. It's about feeling it, or if it's in your thoughts, your brain, witnessing it. Can you take it one step further and now have intimacy with it? This is you retraining your brain and negating the predominant message of positive, happy, happy. This is going to provide the balance. Yes, there's wonderful things about life. And there's a lot of things that we have to endure. The endure versus delight. That's the truth about our experience here on planet Earth. And now with these four steps, you know how to deal with the endure. Thank you.